We read from Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Our text is the 30th verse. In the first three verses, the psalmist gives the cry that arises out of the afflictions that he describes throughout the rest of the psalm, but then he ends with gratitude for an anticipated deliverance. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them. And that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. May God bless our reading of his holy word. Verse 30, Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. We know today is Thanksgiving Day, and yet it seems that increasingly this day is referred to as Turkey Day. And it makes you wonder if that's not a way in which the attention is taken away from him who ought to receive all the thanks. May we learn again not only to give thanks to God, but why? Why not just in the fall, but really every day for a believer is a day of thanksgiving. When you read the situation of the psalmist, and you can hear many references that are fulfilled not in the psalmist's life, but in the life of Christ, that they still were able to know that God is worthy of praise. That then we, who might be yet experiencing afflictions, every child of God has a cross, that even in the midst of those crosses, we still can say, I will praise the name of God. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Notice that the psalmist and Jesus, when so afflicted, when so evilly treated, did not respond in anger or in an effort to get even, but committed to him who judges righteously, and in doing that made this psalm a prayer, committed himself to him, but also committed his enemies to him to be judged. And in doing that, he was looking up. And in looking up, committing himself and his enemies to him who judges righteously, he had the right to anticipate what God would do, so that the psalm ends, and especially in verses 35 and 36, with references to what will take place, to the future. And in anticipation of that which God will do, so sure, because when God makes a promise, it's real, he could say, I will praise the name of God with song. May we do that too. He speaks of praise and magnifying. That's the activity that's expressed by the psalmist. I will praise thee, and I will magnify thee. To praise is literally, and again, you got to catch the figure. The language is often a figure of speech, and it's easy to catch. The word praise, however, hides that. The word magnify, even you children can understand. But the word praise means to make something to shine and then to boast because it shines so brightly. He says he will praise the name of God and God. He will take God and his name and he will cause it to shine in his own mind. Sure, he wants to make it shine for others, but that won't happen, and it won't happen accurately and correctly unless we make that God to shine before us. Now, that's not as easy as what it might first seem. It's not easy because the devil is doing everything in his power to get our attention away from God. He does everything in his power to get our attention on ourselves and on the difficulties and on the afflictions and on the crosses. He wants us to see and stare at that frost that killed the fruit crop. He wants us to see the tremendous drought and focus on that. And in the midst of that drought and that killing frost, to despair, to become angry, to be frustrated, to complain. And when the affliction comes at the hands of others. And in the stream of life, we not only bump against the bottom and the sides of the stream, but we often bump against the other stones that are in the stream with us. Crash. We don't seem ever to go down nice and smooth. It's other people. Yes, sometimes the heathen. But so often, it's the ones that are going down the stream of life with us who have the same filthy human nature. Praise God! In your consciousness, make Him to shine! Look up! The devil wants us to focus here. Let him shine. The word magnify then does the same thing. Very similar. How do we magnify things, children? Some of you have seen a little microscope that you can take and you can put something on it or underneath it on a plate. And you can look through the magnifying glass, and that tiny little thing becomes big. And you can see things in it that you can't see with your natural eye. It becomes large. We use telescopes to take things that are small because they're so far away, and by magnifying them, as it were, to bring them near. And we see how great and huge they are. To magnify. To enlarge. What's to be magnified? Before we go any further, let's be aware that Psalm 35... Verse 26 speaks of this. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves. And we all know that it's not just them that magnify themselves, that we can so stare at our situation, so stare at our experiences, that we magnify it. You've seen me hold up a psalter. We look at our afflictions, and because it's the only thing we think about, it's the only thing that we can see. We magnify it. Here, magnify God and magnify the name of God. Now, how in the wide world can we make God bigger than what he is? We can't. God is infinite. We cannot make him bigger than what he is. Okay, if God cannot be magnified, what is to be magnified? The key to understanding that is to magnify the name of God. One of the classes in Catechism Monday night, we talked about the name of God under the third commandment. And then we found out that the word name, or the name of God, because every name of God is a revelation about himself, the name God, the name Jehovah, the name Lord, the Lord Sabaoth, all of the names of God and of Jesus tell us something about him. When the Bible uses this expression, the name of God, or hallowed be thy name, it's not saying God as much as it's saying this: the revelation that God has given of himself. God is. God is so great, so glorious, so holy other, that a creature, and then on top of it, a sinful creature, cannot. It is utterly impossible for a creature to know his maker. God is so totally different from earthly minds that we cannot know him. And so God, as it were, opens up cracks to reveal himself. He sends his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us, and he gives words that these minds can understand. He condescends not only to see and know the things in earth and heaven below, but also he opens up and he speaks in language creatures, human creatures, can get, can understand. That's the revelation, that's the name of God. God reveals himself. He shows himself. Creation, all of creation, created by the word of God, is his speech. He who sustains creation keeps speaking and revealing something of himself. We look at creation and we see especially the power and the wisdom of its maker. Now you have to have the other speech of God, his word, his written word, his creative word, his written word, in order to have the glasses to be able to see his word in the realm of creation, and then to be able to even understand the inscripturated written word, we need the incarnated word, the word which became flesh. So all of those, incarnated word, inscripturated word, creative word, are all revelations that God has given of himself. And if you want one word to cover all of those revelations, then the Bible says that's God's name. That's his name. We can't make God bigger than what he is. But we can and must and now pray that we might be able to see better, larger, the revelation that God gives of himself. Not only must he reveal himself, but he has to reveal himself to us. Every one of us has a different intellectual capacity. There are certain children that have to learn how to read. I mean, they have to learn how to read comprehendingly. Sometimes God gives us children that they're taught how to read, and they can read. And they close the book. Well, what's it all about? I'm not sure. We have children with special needs. We can say the same thing to them over and over and over. And they learn like a dog learns. But do they really get it? To magnify the name of God is to be able to take the dimness away from our minds. Let's say it this way. God's presence and God's greatness, we are often blind to. We can have a fear. Sometimes parents have that when the child's in the womb. There's a fear. How's this going to go? Will everything be well? And that concern becomes so great that we become blinded to. No, we know God is, and we know God's in control. But the fear grips us. And we don't always have an answer to that kind of a fear, because that which causes us to fear is magnified. We can hear the cancer word. And again, fears arise. In our youth, we can have fun, all kinds of fun. And we're busy with all kinds of activities in our minds. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, this is fun. And we're blind, or at least our eyes are dimmed to God, to His presence, to His greatness, to His wisdom, to His love. Sometimes we know God's in control, but we question, is this really the best way? Is this wisdom, real wisdom, that we would have a loved one that doesn't believe? Sometimes we think the number of afflictions that are laid on us is enough. Anything else would be too much. I have to deal with this situation every day, 24/7. I don't need any more. Then we challenge the wisdom of our God. So our sinful nature is constantly blinding us. So when the psalmist says, I will magnify, then he is talking about directing his focus, his mind and his attention on God. Now, just stop a minute and don't go past that three-lettered word, because the word God, El or Elohim in the Greek, in the Hebrew, God means the one who is full of every perfection, infinitely so. Okay, now wait a minute. Magnify God. The one who is full of every perfection, who possesses every perfection, and he possesses every perfection infinitely. Yes, he is wise. Whether I get it or not, he is wise. He is holy, perfectly holy, and infinitely holy. He is just, perfectly just, and infinitely just. He is love, perfectly love, and infinitely so. On and on. He is in control of the economy. He is in control of the nations and the politics. He is. And all for the sake of his church. Oh, magnify God and his revelation of himself in his name. So that we see that he is good. Why is God a jealous God? It is because he sees himself as that one that's full of every perfection and infinitely so. So he sees himself as the highest good. Why may not we be jealous? Because we have no good in ourselves except what which is gifted to us. But he has it all. That's why he may be and ought to be and must be a jealous God who demands all of our and of every one of his creatures attention. But given our natures, we have to keep magnifying the revelation that God has given of himself to us. The highest revelation that God has given to us of himself is Jesus Christ. And you can't, believers, you can't read this psalm but hear it refer to him. What he bore. Now, here at the hands of his enemies. Sing again or look again at the words of Psalter number 184. It versifies this gall and bitterness. 185 as well. The goodness of God is shown in the highest way, the highest revelation of God's goodness is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's good men out there that other good men might die for. But they do it because they're good. They like them. They're nice. When he died for us, when he died for me, there was and is no reason. None. He had every reason not to. And all of a sudden you say that and the goodness of God gets greater. Because not only is he good in giving his son and loving, but what makes that son and the gift of him and the love that was behind that even greater is the increasing understanding of the revelation of God that I never have been, and I still am not, worthy of anything that he gives. Do I deserve a cross-free life? Do I deserve every loved one to be destined for heaven? Do I deserve children? Do I deserve nice children? Do I deserve a happy marriage? Do I deserve only health? I deserve hell. I deserve his wrath. I deserve his horrible, fiery anger. And then to receive his love? That's amazing grace. And because I know I receive his love in Christ, then we can say, Romans 8, if he gave us Christ, then with Christ he gives us freely all things. Now the revelation that it opens our eyes to the fact that every cross is also given in God's great love, from which nothing can separate us, because each one of those difficulties, yea, all things, are used, the good ones we call good and the bad ones that we think are bad, all of them are instruments in the potter's hand to conform us increasingly to the image of his Son. Knowing that, gaining this understanding, having his revelation magnified, then we give thanks and we praise him with song. How are we to magnify and praise him? With thanksgiving. That interesting. He says you can give an ox or a bullock. And those are the choicest, the most expensive, the most costly sacrifices. But when you say thanks, you give something that in God's eyes is better. And you thank him that he is in control and that things are not out of control. When you thank him for giving to you the ability to believe and to trust his love. When you see his power. When you see him in the nice day and the possibility of snow tomorrow. When you see him and you see that behind it is that cross of Christ, and you learn to thank him, not for selected things and then we got other piles. No, but we learn to thank him. Because we see he uses all things to work together for his glory and for our good. And his glory is when we thank him as we see him better and better, more and more clearly. So our gratitude is an expression of our willingness to identify him as the gifter. It's with a certain level of good fun that in the catechism class, every once in a while, those who want to take credit for a right answer have to read a verse. so much so that they all know what they're going to hear in the verse. That they cannot brag because that which they were able to say correctly was a gift. And they learn. They learn to give thanks to Him who gifted them. Gratitude is increased and continues. Because now notice in the psalm, it would seem that the psalmist, when he says this, was not yet experiencing relief. He wasn't free from the problem. The cancer wasn't gone. The problem was still there. He was still carrying that cross. He still had the thorn in his flesh. But he has so magnified God that he also sees that a part of that revelation that God gives of himself is his promise. Promise of present care, unending love, and of an anticipated hope. Freedom from all of the afflictions. Not here, but in the life to come. And that anticipation fills him with thanksgiving now. It makes him look beyond here. Because when he looks up, he also can look truly and correctly ahead and see the promises of the present care that will be there. He says he's going to praise him with song. Striking and powerful. When you put truth, God's truth, with music, with fitting music that makes the singer and the hearer be carried sometimes higher than what mere words can say. When God's salvation sets my soul on high, then I will sing and praise thy name. My thankful song thy mercy shall proclaim. Now you might scratch your heads. Where'd that come from? Well, that's the third stanza of Psalter number 187. Or this. Then will I praise my God with song. To him my thanks shall rise. And this shall please Jehovah more than offered sacrifice. Magnify God, beloved. Magnify him. Whether it's with song, with his word. See how great he really is. Give thanks. And then pray this. And never stop praying this. O thou who hast given us so much, mercifully grant us one more thing. A grateful heart. A heart that doesn't see, instead of a cup half empty, a cup half full. No. A heart that says, my cup runneth over. It's always running over. Goodness his and his mercy, they follow me. Every day of my life, I will praise thee and magnify thee with thanks. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, and that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Teach us. We thank thee. Just saying it doesn't seem to be enough, but we're never going to stop thanking thee. For we owe thee that gratitude now and forever. For Jesus' sake, amen.